Thank you for tuning in. Only at Rosie on the House are we going to go from Heirloom Seed Festival to composting in Arizona to artichokes in Camp Verde to home offices in the 9 o'clock hour and everything masonry in the 10 o'clock hour. Stay tuned.
We are still in the garden hour, so let's get right to Carolyn in Mesa, who wants to talk about her plum tree. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning. Rosie, I have a beautiful, beautiful plum tree. It was probably planted in 2007, 2006. It's in gravel. There's a lawn about 4 feet away from it on one side. It's on a drip, well, it's like on a drip system, except I use a hose. And I water it in 4 different places around that tree. And I believe that it was deeply fertilized. I had a company come out when it was first planted because I was afraid that maybe the roots were going around instead of going out. But whatever happened, it really is gorgeous. But I just wondered if I need to fertilize that maybe in the spring or something. How do you fertilize a tree on a drip system with no other plants around it in gravel?
Okay, and I guess I assume there's no plastic under the gravel?
No.
Okay. Well, it's pretty simple, and you mentioned that you do water it with a hose. So, I would, somewhere in the middle of your watering process, when you're taking the hose and you're moving it around, because we never want to fertilize a plant that's dry or before it's been watered. We want to always water first, at least partially, then fertilize, then finish our watering in after we're done. But you can buy granular fertilizers that can be applied on that in that rocky area, and you can wash them down through with your hose and then continue to water them by moving the hose around. Another thing I've seen done is just buy one of those little inexpensive metal sprinklers and turn it on real low so that the water just kind of, like a little rainfall after you've put your fertilizer on, and that covers more ground and kind of washes the fertilizer down through the rock and into the soil, and let that run real slow. So maybe the sprinkler's only going up a foot or 18 inches before it starts falling down to the ground. So there's a number of ways to do that. Just make sure you wash the fertilizer through the rock area and then continue your watering, and it'll get watered in nicely that way.
We appreciate the call, Carolyn. There was a lot of irrigation there, a lot of drip irrigation. Have you ever tried one of these clay pot irrigators? It's like a 2-gallon pot. You plant it in the ground, or you bury it in the ground, and it's got a lid on top. You pour the water and you cover it, and they say it eliminates any kind of evaporation loss mm-hmm. on your water. Then you don't have to worry about going out there and watering every day either. You've just got to check the jar a couple times a week to make sure and refill that water.
Not anything in the ground. Of course, for years we've had what's called an African violet pot. That's a pot in a pot. So you put water in the outside pot, and there's a pot that sits down in that, and they're clay. So it wicks the moisture from the outside into the roots. And it works, effectively. The only thing I would say in our conditions here, you better check that thing pretty frequently because the soil's hot and the plant is, once the plant starts growing, that thing's going to get sucked dry
pretty
fast. But, a lot of these people that are coming from Northern California where it's 75 degrees and, of course, they haven't had a lot of rain this year, I understand, but, it's humid and cool. Those things don't work quite the same way when it's 110 and the soil temperature's, 90 degrees or whatever. So
I did listen to local radio driving around, and it was hilarious to listen to everyone complain about 95-plus temperatures. And I was walking around, and I had a long sleeve on. They're like, man, how can you survive in that long sleeve, and aren't you so hot? I'm like, man, it's under 100 degrees. Shut up.
Yeah. Of course, 95 and a little humidity, and if they don't have air conditioning and, they're not prepared for it, it can be...
It can catch you by surprise.
Yeah, it can be pretty miserable.
When you mentioned that area, I don't know that there is a statistic, but I'm going to say easily 60% of the people that were exhibiting at that event drove less than 100 miles.
It sounds like the crowd from... The northern coast.
You got your everything from hippies to naturalist, and there was a lot of nuts, let's say, that were there, but there was a lot of just plain old folk attending it.
Yeah,
it
good capitalistic,
good variety.
You know, entrepreneurial gathering.
A lot of Birkenstocks.
Yeah, probably that. Tie-dye.
You know, the only person that wore tie-dye was at a Renaissance booth where they were teaching candle making.
Okay.
And leather fixing and
so it was kind of like the other Tony Romo. The artsy craftsy Tony Romo.
You can go to rosieonthehouse.com, and on the bottom of the home page in our blog, there's a link to our review of the National Heirloom Expo. It was a lot of fun, learned a lot of great things, a lot of links, a lot of resources. We put the best of what we found, or what I thought was the best that was available right there. It is planting season.
Yeah, fall is for planting, especially here in the low desert. This is the best time, and we've talked about vegetables and composting, but we're going into the best time to plant trees and shrubs and vines that there is for the year.
Very good.
If things get rooted before it gets hot, things will take off next spring if they've gotten in the ground over the wintertime. So it's a fabulous time to start planting and landscaping everything.
All right, y'all stay tuned. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking about home offices. Do you home office? Tune in. We'll give you some hints and tips on how to make it more efficient and more effective.